In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Back to your program, Treasures. We commenting on the Gospel of St. John. We'll start chapter 4. We can name the first chapter, Christ the Logos. We can name the second chapter, Christ is the Bridegroom. And the third chapter, Christ is the Redeemer. Because of the dialogue with Nicodemus about the redemption. Now, we will start the Samaritan story in chapter 4. And I love to remind you that chapter 4 is given in our church in the fourth week in the Lent. So we celebrate the Samaritan dialogue like two important times, in the fourth week of the Lent, and also on the third Sunday after, in the 50 days after Easter. And also, you will listen to the Samaritan story on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples. He's repeating what happened in the third chapter, that people started to follow Christ and his disciples, and the disciples were baptizing people on the same way like John the Baptist. But the number of people following John the Baptist is decreasing. The number of people following Christ and his disciples were increasing. So he said, the Lord knew that the Pharisee had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So the Pharisee were following up what's happening, because on both sides they did not love John the Baptist nor Christ the Savior. They loved themselves, they loved for all people to follow them, so they were against both. But they could see that the number of people now moving towards Christ and his disciples. And John the Evangelist mentioned that Jesus himself did not baptize. And that's important, because we cannot relate this baptism to the Christian baptism. Till this minute it was on the same ritual of John the Baptist before Christian baptism related to the resurrection. He left Judea and departed again to Galilee, because it was not his hour. He did not want to face the problems with the Pharisee at that time. He went back to Galilee. He left Judea because this is the hot area where the Pharisee, following everything, they love to be, to have the authority on everything. So they, as if they pushed him back to his area of Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria, because in the way from Judea in the south part to the Galilee in the north part, he have to pass by Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria which is called Sychar. By the way, the Samaritan people are, you know, they are like a problem in history, because they related in one side to the Jewish background, but they also had in their mind some of the pagan teaching. So the Jew people never loved these Samaritan people. They believed that they are not Jewish people. But the Samaritan people considered themselves as part of the Jew people, because they believed at least in the first five books of Moses. So they were also always some fight between the Samaritan side and the Jewish side. And you know, when a Jew gets angry, he may insult anyone saying, you are a Samaritan, because it was considered like an insult to say so. He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Because at that time, it was a gift from Jacob to his son Joseph. And the Samaritan people loved this area because they considered this is kind of a historical, important place for them. And on this well, on the same area of the water in the well, supposedly given by Jacob to Joseph, so it was a sign of love, the parental love between Jacob and his son. Now Jacob's well was there. Readers, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour. So, as we used to, you know, John the Evangelist is mentioning time and place. It was in the 6th hour, the hour of the cross, by the way, and it was just nearby the well of the Samaria, the well given from Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, to his beloved Joseph. So, because of the long journey, Christ stayed at that time. He was waiting for the Samaritan woman to come. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. It was his plan that he let his disciples to go to the city to buy food in order to spend some quality time with this Samaritan woman, to listen respectfully to her, to give her the living water, to save her soul. So he intended to be alone at that time. That's what one important lesson for all servants. Do not try to open the heart of anyone in the presence of anyone. But you have to keep it very confidential. You have to respect the emotions of the one who is pouring out of his heart the problems and the feelings and the wound inside his heart. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So Christ started the dialogue. He asked her for help. He showed himself like the needy one, as if she will give him something. So he respected her so much because she is the one who will give him anything. Give me a drink. So by opening the discussion this way, I think the Samaritan woman felt some respect, because the Jew people never ever respected any Samaritan woman. So even if they will die because of no water, they will never ask for a drink. So when he said it this way, she felt like he is very humble and he is very kind and he is in real need to drink. But although these things, she answered roughly. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." So her answer was not welcoming, was not a nice one. She as if rejected his request, saying, "You never deal with us, you never respect us. How can a man like you, a Jew man, ask for a drink from a Samaritan woman?" Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The Samaritan people feels inferior to the Jew people, although they are not in good terms, but they know that these people know better than them. And these people are the real people following Moses and the prophets. So when he spoke about the living water, her mind went after him. Is there another secret I don't know about? Is there another water but not this water? So he said it in a very polite, very decent way. If you know the truth, who is talking to you, you may ask him to give you the living water. So as if, you know, exchanging positions, you know, he started to show like, "I need water." Now he is pushing her to say, "I need your water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" This, you know, question may remind us with like the same question given by Nicodemus in chapter 3, when he asked Christ, how can one be born again? Should I go to my mother's womb to be born again? So people of that generation could not understand the sacramental talk of the Lord. He was talking about the holy baptism with Nicodemus. Now he is talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Myron, the living water, with the Samaritan woman. And she is, you know, out of this. She like thinking that's the water. There is no other water. And you don't have anything to pull the water. So how can you speak about a living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? So actually, she started to be better, because she said, are you better than our father Jacob? They believe so much that they are, offspring of Jacob like other Israelites. So they loved the name of Jacob. But Jacob, God blessed him, giving him this wealth. So could you be better than him, higher than him? So you are having another well of water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? So this simple woman was speaking from her heart about her belief. She believed this is the only water. She believed, like, I'm a daughter of Jacob, although she was a sinner. And she believed that this man, such a humble man, a polite man, but he speaks about something strange, the living water. Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The same way of talking, like with Nicodemus, now with the Samaritan. Christ speaking spiritually about different world of the spirit, not the flesh world of Nicodemus and the Samaritan. And by the way, in the sermons given by John the Chrysostom, if you know him, he was a great patriarch in the 4th century and the beginning of the 5th century. He commented on the comparison between the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus. And he considered that the Samaritan woman was better in answering questions, and she was more polite, even more than Nicodemus, because she accepted the revelation, the truth given by Christ when he spoke about living water. She did not, attack him anymore. She accepted the idea, but she was trying to understand, what is this living water? Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Actually, Christ was mentioning her life. The water of this earth means the relationships, the sinful life, the desires of a man, all this water of this world. Anyone will drink of this will thirst again. The love of humans, the desires of the flesh, this always is the source of need. It's not the source of satisfaction. You will never be satisfied with love of man. You can never be satisfied with the lusts of this world. But there is another way to feel satisfaction, to feel the fulfillment of joy and love. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Actually, this simple woman believed in him and believed his talk. And although she couldn't understand or imagine what is this fountain of living water springing up into everlasting life, these big words, but she loved what he was saying, because she knew that her life was dumb, was very dark, was very bad. She felt the real need of this living water. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. So she asked now for the water. The story started by Christ asking her for a drink. Now she is asking him for his water. She believed him. So in this minute, there was kind of change happened in her heart. She wasn't like before, the aggressive woman attacking him. Now she is accepting the truth given by him. She loved him back because she felt his love. He respected her so much, although he knew everything about her. Now she respected him back because of his respect. So that's a great lesson in counseling, in coaching people with when it comes in dealing with any wounded person. You have to respect him. You have to show love. You have to listen carefully. You have to go step by step in order to help him to ask for help. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. Ethically, that's expected because, you know, for any woman, she cannot, you know, go on speaking with a stranger and taking a water from him. If she is married, she should bring her husband. So, speaking politely, go bring your husband. But you all know that the question meant another thing, that Christ was helping her to confess, to admit her sinful life, to open the dark room in her heart, to tell him her stories. So he started pushing very quietly this thing. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. You know, at that time she had no husband, but you know, the husband, the man living with her was living with her in adultery. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So look to this. He did not insult her by all means. He said it twice. You have well said, and then you spoke truly. So as if he is focusing on her good side. He did not, you know, magnify the idea of having five men before this six bad man. No, he is only focusing on the good side that she is speaking the truth at this minute. That's why the woman admired him so much. Because for her first time, somebody could see the good side of her life. Somebody could say, you spoke truly. Because everyone could see the lying side of her, the dark side of her life. Because of this, she loved him so much, and now she will be born again with the living water. She will be the good Samaritan woman. She will be the real servant of Christ. She will be the role model of evangelist just because of the love of Christ. Glory to God. Amen.